Yeah, welcome. We're back. And today we are talking with Sasha Unaya. And Sasha, if you can hear me, your mic is muted. I don't know how it got muted, but it still is. And there you go. And let's see, you have a blog, if I remember correctly. Uh-oh. What happened, Joe?
I don't know. All of a sudden, I don't know what's happening, but...
It's the internet. It doesn't like us. Daggum internet.
It wasn't. There we go.
Hopefully that's the last time that happens. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. We can never rely on the internet.
Oh, you sound much better now. It sounds like
it may have worked it out. I mean, you know, it just depends. Right now, the internet can be a little bit bubbly. But I was looking here, and it shows that you have a blog, right?
Oh, yeah, that should be.
And she froze again.
Anyway.
Oh.
Yes, I do. I don't work on it nearly enough as I should, but it's starting to pick up its pace a little bit. Ever since I joined the fantastic Haunted Diary for Normal School, it has given me some more encouragement and such to get back to writing. Because I enjoy writing, and I also enjoy sharing experiences of paranormal with others.
That's cool. So, let's see if we can get this going here. one of the questions I ask normally of our guests, and it's to get you able to just kind of tell your side of it, and that way people who haven't seen you or know about you can actually listen to what you have to say, and then they get to know you a little bit better, and then also they can go check out your blog. But what I usually ask is, what got you started in the paranormal and your interest in it?
Well, you know what? It's kind of one of those things that chose me. I was born with congenital heart disease, so I had my first open heart surgery when I was 13 months old.
Oh,
I had my second one when I was 7, and then again when I was 11 years old. The last two times I went under, I did pass flatline technical term. First time was for 1 minute and 42 seconds, excuse me. Second time was for 2 minutes and 37 seconds. Now, my belief, as well as many others, is when you have those type of experiences where you cross over, even for a short time, and touch that other side, you then become connected to it. You know, you build that core. And you bring it back with you. So my childhood, growing up in such a remote area, I mean, literally guarded by a border, we didn't have malls. We didn't have places to go and hang out after school. You know, it was the forest and the beach and things like that. So a lot of imagination, a lot of very unique people come out of there. You know, musicians, poets, writers, because we all have so much time on our hands. So, and then it being so charged with this native, ancient energy. And then being someone who not only was born an empath, then having those connections. energy and seeing energy and feeling energy, it made for an interesting job. You know, you're not the only one, I'm sure, that's heard this from. I have a good friend, Noah. I'm not going to drop any names, but, a famous psychic medium who grew up in a similar fashion, Her parents thought that her imaginary friends were just that, children imaginary friends. But they weren't. They were still friends. And so talking to spirits at a young age and interacting with them, then there's me. And on top of it, I come from a line of intuitive women. My mother is clairvoyant. My Nana, who's my namesake, or I'm her namesake, she's the one that actually got me involved in magical practices at a young age. So she was kind of my mentor and is now one of my spirit guides.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just on the topic of sharing the story. I mean, really, that's kind of where it is. That's kind of where it left me. So I'm open. I'm very sensitive. And then I start to grow up. I start getting past the stages of spending so much time with my spirit friends, although I've well, I started to learn more and more about the person who was teaching me about magic, which was my Nana. She worked with an Indian guy as a small child, and he was part of a local tribe from Las Cruces, Mexico. And she used to do, as a little kid, she used to do warrior dances, and, they were calling on the spirits and things like that. So she had that connection as well. Now, here I am, we fast forward, I'm about 2.5 years old, and they take me to Stanley Park in Vancouver, B.C. And there's this Native man sitting under a tent, and he's painting oil paintings of portraits for people, for a fee. And we wanted to commemorate the time, so my mom had an oil painting done of me as a child. After we brought the oil painting home, now I'm too young to really remember the chaos of it. When you're young, you can still feel it, but it doesn't feel as chaotic to you because your world is so much more simplified. It's not clogged up with the adult life of, bills, work, this, that. So when things started happening to a point where my mom, who would be would be a classic version of a skeptic, started having things become so bad in the house where she called upon different denominations to come into the house. So we had a rabbi, we had a bishop, we had a priest, we had a Native American medicine man. They all came into the house to try and figure out what was going on. Why are we waking up in the middle of the night, with all the water turned on, blasting all over the place? Why is the wood pile outside falling off? Why is this happening? The knocks, the common stuff that starts to happen when you start getting that infestation. And, the Native American said, when the foundation was dug, when we originally moved there, we stayed and lived with my Nana while our house was built. And being such a small area, there was only one contractor. He ended up being my non-blood uncle, Uncle Hank. And he built the foundation for our house. In doing so, he unearthed two complete set of American remains. Now, in Point Roberts, this wasn't an unnatural thing. It was pretty common. So he would call the correct authorities, and they would come, and they would take the remains, and they would do their blessings and their chants, and we would move on with life.
the house was built, and then of course we go back to the time where this activity starts happening, and we bring in all these people immediately, seconds, that Native American medicine man zoned in on that painting. He said, it's not the house. It's not the land. It's been cleansed. There's something in here. There's something. And he pointed at that painting of me. And he said, it's that. That is your source of the problem. You need to get rid of it. My mom said, no, that's my daughter. I'm not getting rid of that. Well, you need to. If you want things to get better and you want us to, you know, redo the ritual here and live a normal life, you need to give that to us, and we need to get rid of it. Now, we thought it was being disposed of properly. Now, as I'm older and work with people in the field, and mm-hmm. whether it's psychic mediums or paranormal or whatever it may be, they did the worst thing in the world they possibly could have done. They burnt it. So
whatever was in there that released.
Is it released and went into the vessel of the intent, which was me. So ever since that painting was burnt, my life has literally been absolute chaos. And it sounds so dramatic, but I'm being 110% truthful.
Okay.
From surgeries. Yeah. Stop me.
I'll have to fill you in a little here. I am a non practicing Wiccan. So I've dealt and delved into that type of backgrounds. So everything you're telling me, I understand. I've seen it firsthand, or a lot of it firsthand. So you can feel free to just say any of this to me, because I won't ever judge you in that manner, because I understand it. So if that, you know, I just want you to feel that you can be at ease talking about this with me. So, but yeah, that is the worst.
I appreciate that. You know,
no, that is the worst possible way they could have disposed of it, because all that did, whatever was in that painting. But see, what's got me is how or what was it that got in that painting? The only way I can think of it being put in there is the Indian man that did the painting did something. That's the only possible way I can think of.
And what my mom says is that they weren't present for the entire duration of the painting. You know, the man would start out with a basic sketch. I was a 2-year-old. I'm not going to sit still for 4.5 hours to have an oil painting done. Right. So he starts out with the basic, probably took a photo of me. That she does not remember. However, in my mind, with certain intuitions that I have, I believe that he did take a photo of that of me to refer from. Now, and as you know, Native Americans, you talk to a true-blooded Native American, they will not have their photo taken. Against their beliefs.
It's against their beliefs.
Because to have one's photo taken is to have part of their soul taken.
Exactly. Exactly. That's where I was. I knew that's exactly where you were going with it, because
it's one of the
their
beliefs. Native American beliefs that you most commonly hear about is them not wanting their picture taken because they feel that it'll trap part of their soul.
Yeah, or most of their soul.
Yeah.
So yeah, I figured that part there. So go ahead.
Yeah. So what I've been told, you know, is that there was definitely some malicious intent in what was being produced. And unfortunately, like you said, they did the worst thing they could do. They burnt it. And therefore, it left a very lasting impression on me. And my life right now is a perfect example of that. That's a true fact. I'm not saying it's unmanageable or anything. But ever since I've moved back onto Indigenous land, the paranormal activity that has followed me my entire life, and you've read my blog, it's followed me from apartment to houses, mm-hmm. to hospitals, to hotel rooms. But yet once I moved back here, I mean, it went from 5 to 50 instant.
So it's escalated.
And
it's
I was here by myself for the first month and a half. So I really got a feel for the energy. Now, again, when we first came here, that was part of the reason why we wanted the house in the first place. I was with a roommate. We were both looking to get a house together. Mm-hmm. Again, I never thought I would move out into the middle of nowhere out in Kameno Island. But when I saw this house and I put my foot down on the ground getting out of that car, the spiritual energy that I felt was so overwhelming, but yet so enticing. I call it my curse of curiosity. And I think all of us that delve into the paranormal have that, because we know that by opening doorways, by even asking a spirit to move something or make a sound, that is an invitation. That is an invitation to them. And once they get that invitation, sometimes people don't know how to revoke it or set those boundaries.
Right, right.
I didn't feel the bad energy when I first came. It was just too overwhelming. It was like, figure me out. Now figure me out. Now figure me out. Now figure mm-hmm. me out. The way I see it and the way another fellow friend and psychic medium sees it is when people talk about portals and doorways, gates. Mine is a revolving door.
Right.
In, out, in, out, in, out. The way one of them also described it is, pretend you're walking down a road. All the houses' lights are all off, but your lights are on. So they're mm-hmm. going to go to your house. Because they know that you can see them. They know that you can hear them and feel them yep. and interact with them. Not yep. only that, but when you're practicing magic, as I do, you are inviting that contact. Mm-hmm. So they come directly for you. So it is a very in and out type of a feeling here. Now, there's some that stay, some that are very nice, some that are very mm-hmm. kind, even helpful, even helpful.
So- So in all,
but
in all of this, that you know, ahead, with your attracting spirits, and I understand that too, by the way. Have you found any that are very attracted to you and are powerful enough to keep the evil or the dark spirits away from you?
A lot of work. A lot of work. I work with someone very closely who deals with things of a more dark nature. Mm-hmm. And every time we talk and go over things, I'm left with a list of homework and what to do. And what to do to protect myself, my animals, and anyone who comes in and out of the house. Right. So that helps, but yet we're dealing with a lot here. I mean, a lot. 4 months ago, we discovered a human bone in our crawl space. And it has been positively identified by a homicide detective as human.
Wow. In the crawl space.
Yes. Wow. Imagine a room.
Right there, right?
Cut it sideways like a triangle. Keep half of the room a shop. Leave the other half of the room all dirt floor. All dirt. Don't cement it in.
That's
and
weird.
Add viewing windows. That's what our crawl space is.
That's the point.
That's crazy. To answer Tom's question, I can actually answer Tom's question there. It says, how do you not scratch that itch of curiosity? Well, Tom, it's called fear. For those of you who have fear, that's why you don't scratch that itch.
It looks like an ankle bone.
So anyway, yeah. Well, Mr. Tom Klein, he has went to school for medical doctoring. So he's one of our friends up in Grafton that we've been doing stuff with too. So anyway, wow.
Philip, it looks like. Philip has a question about how I found
it. How was it found? Here we go.
This is one of the most common forms of divination that I use. It is a pendulum board. Now it's a little bit more complex than most. This is actually the Walt Wood design pendulum board. Right. So it gets very detailed answers. Everything from dates to numbers.
Pull it back a little bit. Every now and then I see
you can see the
and then it goes like solid and then it'll clear up.
I also have something stuck in this mirror here. So if you see any kind of undulating black masses up here, this sets off my motion detector security lights a good 15 to 20 times a night. I will hear it doing the exorcist work, turning its head all the way around. And then when I review the footage, I see the in and out and in and out. Up here. So yeah, if you see any kind of electrical disturbances, we definitely have those here.
Is that something that you or someone else is trapped in that mirror, or is that, or did it come with the mirror when you got the mirror?
The mirror was clean when I got it. Unfortunately, it is no longer. And I have done every technique I can do along with those suggested to me to clear this mirror. And no luck yet, but I work with mirrors. I do use the pendulum dowsing board because I'm not one of those people that's afraid to touch a spirit board. I have one. I have one right over there. It's kept in a dark place because that's where
otherwise
you should
keep known
them.
As a Ouija
but
board.
I don't use it when I'm by myself. If I'm trying to communicate with something, I use my pendulum board, or I use my cards, or I use a mirror. Now, I was passed down as a child a mirror from my Nana as a hand mirror to sleep with. This is something she gave me to sleep with so that I could see what was really in those shadows in my room as a child. Mm-hmm. Ever since, I've continued to work with mirrors. There's a large one there that you can't see. There's one there. And then I also work with black mirrors as well. I seem to have really good luck with them.
Cool. So Philip also asked, do you ever do water scrying?
Yes. Yes. Definitely. My favorite place ever is a very calm day down at the beach.
Where
I also do it here, you know, on the table, on my own. Honestly, I have a nice beautifully carved soapstone bowl that I use as well. I also use black obsidian balls as well as mirrors.
I have one of those, by the way, that a friend of mine gave me. So,
very nice. Very nice. Is it a tool, but it's a great stone to work with.
Oh yeah. What I was
mirrors
saying,
will cleanse it. Yeah.
That's what Tom says. But what I was saying about talking about being on the beach, that where else is a better place to be, honestly? Because when you're there, you're within the vicinity of all that energy out of the ocean.
I love it here. I love it.
The ocean is an infinite pool of pure energy.
Well, then why are you living in Wisconsin still?
You know that. Don't get me started with that.
There's something keeping them there.
Yeah, it's called my daughter and my grandchildren. I'm not leaving them.
Very nice. Priorities. Yes.
Yeah, obsidian is pretty good. I find that onyx is one of my go-to. Onyx and opal are my go-to stones.
Onyx and opal.
Yes.
All right.
Do you ever?
My favorite, as far as when I'm doing mediumship work, is arsenite.
Which one? Which stone? I didn't hear what stone you said that you is your favorite.
Oh, arsenite. It is very difficult to find, and I cannot show, even with this beautiful light, how gorgeous it is. But if you look at my Instagram after I get off this, I am going to post some photos of it. It has the most incredible lightning bolts of blue striations through it. And it is highly, highly conductive for dealing with mediumship work. I collect a lot of crystals and stones that I use for what I'm using them for. Basically, you know, it's like anything else. It's like, oh, well, this is what I'm trying to achieve. These are my intentions. So I'm going to use this and this and this. But then I have my go-to for when I'm doing any kind of connection or mediumship work. Back to the house real quick. This is a good one. A couple weeks ago, we had, it's been maybe a month so now. We had to have our handyman work on the foundation down in that crawl space room.
Okay.
Now, while he was down there, he kept hearing, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop doing that. What are you doing? And he thought it was me. So I get this text on my phone. He's like, are you messing with me? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm upstairs, like, listening to music. It's not me. That night, he was so disturbed. First of all, he didn't want to come back and finish the job. He was having his shirt tugged. He was basically, it kept turning off all his lights. It was like, don't do what you're doing kind of a thing. He called the owner, the original owner of the house, not the very, very first one we found out. Second one. She bought the house in the 70s with her husband. So the original part of the house was built in the 70s. It has additions. This house is kind of one of the most unique houses ever. It's like a little mini Winchester. We've got 43 windows, 12 skylights, 6 doors, and 103 concrete blocks with symbols in them all around the property, but only in front of any entry or exit of the house. So he called her to ask her, because I've never wanted to bring it up. I didn't want her to think I was crazy. And this was before we bought the house. And so it was like, mm-hmm. we still want this house, you know? So I didn't bring it up. Found out that the 9 different people that I get mail for currently still have all been tenants within the past decade. We are the only tenants since 1999 to make it past a year and a half.
Wow.
Before we decided to buy the house. He told her, quote unquote, "I have no idea how they are managing it." She moved from Camino Island to Idaho. Paradise to Idaho. No diss on anyone from Idaho, but I'm sorry. Oh, man, when you come out here and you see the beauty and the nature and everything, I don't get it, right? It all started when they made the additions. They made the additions of an entire cathedral bedroom on the other side of the house. The entire top floor is all my area. It's all a loft. So it consists of three different rooms.
Awesome.
Now, my sleeping area, my working area, and my sacred area. And she told him that when she first bought the house, they were taking out truckloads of everything from occult items to, I mean, old huge bowls of burnt charcoal, candle remnants, all sorts of things. Things that they you would think were used. There were chains. There were padlocks. There are all sorts of stuff in that room with the viewing windows that are now boarded up.
Uh-huh.
So doing some more digging into the house, of course, now, unfortunately, with COVID, I can't get back into the Historical Society or the library. But when I first moved here, I did a lot of research on the house. Mm-hmm. There was nothing on this property before this house was built in 1972. They moved in 1974. And the people before them moved in 1974. And apparently, according to the owner, they were members of a cult. They were a cult people that lived here and did rituals here. I've had several psychic mediums other than myself both see and know and feel and hear that there were some very, very, very bad things done here. And of course, with finding human bone and pieces of animal bone and things like that, we know that there was indeed both human and animal sacrifices in the house.
Have you ever checked to look have you ever looked for a portal?
It's there.
To find a portal. Because if you can find them, there are ways of closing them. Well, I'm just saying there are ways of closing them. It'd take me a little research to figure it out. And it also depends on what type of portal it is.
Right. I need someone like the person I'm working with or someone like you that knows about the portal situation. Because spirits, I know. Dealing with them, I know. You know, necromancy and divination and things and stuff, I know. When it comes to portals, all I know is what it feels like to me is that revolving door. That in, that out. That in, that
that's,
out.
That is,
and what I've open. Been told is, right. Oh, yeah. And it very much
it's
is.
Because it's open. Very and they're coming and going as they please.
Now, what do you think about this? Okay. So when you come down to the house, you start wrapping around this round driveway up to this crazy house. I mean, we have 9 different roof angles on the house. Some are metal, some are normal. Again, all the windows, it's wild. I'll post a photo of it later, the outside. as well as the inside too. Down halfway through our driveway, past where it's no trespassing, past our property line, there used to be a through road long, long, long time ago to a well. There's two old abandoned wells down there. When we first moved here, the very first thing I did was go investigate that road down there. I'm like, what is this road? It's got a gate on it. It's on our property. I'm like, interesting. So I go down there. You know, it was March, so things were starting to bloom. And this circle, you could see it from coming down the path. I'm walking through knee-deep stinging nettles and poison ivy and blackberries with a machete trying to get down to this well area. I reached the bottom and there's a completely perfect circle with absolutely no life, no vegetation, no tree branches, nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, of course, we automatically think ritual circle, right? Ceremonial circle.
It does sound something.
That's
like
what
that.
I've been told. I've also been told a much darker side of the possible story. The concept of Lucifer walking backwards in a circle in where a place would be scorched, which it is. Mm-hmm. It looks like somebody lit the fire, the circle in a fire. And then after that, apparently nothing grows. Now, I'm not very versed in demonology. I do have a friend who is the one that told me about this. It makes sense to me. I don't know. What are your feelings on that circle down there?
It does sound like what the folklores talk about, the devil's circle.
And
where Lucifer basically, one of the folklores in the older times talks about what is called the devil's circle, where Lucifer comes and dances on the crops, and he dances a circle around, and everywhere inside the circle just dies and nothing can grow after that. And the way you're explaining that does sound similar to that. It doesn't have, you know, in the folklore, it doesn't say anything about him walking backwards in the circle and then the circle catching on fire or anything like that. It's just basically he comes and dances on the crop, and it's now infertile, and it makes it infertile. You can't ever grow anything there again. And it doesn't matter if you bring dirt in to try and replace it. Supposedly, it will never grow again. So that's kind of how that sounds.
And it hasn't in the 2.5 years we've been here. You know, now trees and stuff will fall because it is in the forest and we do get a lot of storms here. But nothing will grow. Nothing. Not a clover, not a weed, nothing.
Has anyone tried to plant anything there?
Have you tried planting?
Here's an experiment to try, and don't put it in the ground. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh no, I was asking what you would suggest. It's probably our lag. No worries. I was asking you what you would do.
Well, what I would do to kind of experiment on it to see, I wouldn't try to plant anything into the ground. I would actually take a potted plant during like the summertime and place it out there in the center of that circle and make sure to keep watering it and everything and see if it winds up dying.
Give it a try.
Yep. Because supposedly the devil's circle, once it's there, even anything brought in that's alive and growing is supposed to die from the bad energies that's coming off of it.
Makes sense. Then you know what I do? You know what else I do, though?
Just out of curiosity,
you know.
Yeah.
I dig up some of the dirt from that circle and put it in a plant and try to see, you know, put it in a pot and see if a plant would grow in there at all.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, and then if it doesn't grow, then you can.
If you want to test all theories, you know, we say anything's possible.
Yeah, I'm going to keep the plant outside. I don't know about bringing it in and putting on my dresser, but.
No.
I found chunks of a black obsidian, just the most gorgeous pieces. But everything I find outside, I leave outside. And when we first moved in, I like to do a lot of gardening and landscaping. I would constantly be coming across these sculptures, things that people had just tossed away. Angels with broken feet, angels with no wings, animals, things like that. So now I've collected them all and put them by one of the treehouse buildings. So not only do we have this little mini Winchester, it also has other buildings on the property as well. There's a big garage. There is a gigantic coop that looks like it was used for goats, possibly. Has houses, larger area. And then there's this, what I call the treehouse. And it's where I keep all my gardening tools. When I first moved in here, I would constantly at night hear the sound of what sounded like a tricycle or squeaky wheels. It made me think of a radio flyer wagon being pulled and pitter-patter, 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 pitter-patter of feet. And so I figured we've got a mischievous child spirit because all this stuff started happening. You know, things start going missing. You know, I have friends that contribute that to fairy magic, as they call. So I tried giving it a gift. They said, try giving it a gift and see what happens. I found this little thing of bubbles and one of those old, remember those old parachute guys that you yank the thing and the parachute would go up? I put one of those in there. Came out the next morning, parachute was gone. The bubbles were there, but so was a stuffed sock monkey. I collect monkeys. I have a thing for stuffed monkeys. So it gave me a present back. How fun is that? I'm not bringing that monkey in the house, but it can hang out there.
Yeah.
That's
pretty interesting.
I always knock and announce myself when I go out there. I try and be very polite. You know, that's a big part of dealing with living with spirits is being polite and showing respect.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Especially since if this was their area first.
Right. You show respect to the spirits and most generally the spirits are going to respect you back by if you ask them, you know, if they're being a little too mischievous and you ask them to please tone it down or leave you alone, they will, you know, as long as you're showing them respect, they should show respect back to you. Unless, of course, they are in a deviant, malicious type of spirit. Now, I do have a question for you. In all your time there, now you've been there for 2.5 years, and all your time there and also talking about your shed there, or your shed. I can't remember what you said it was. Have you ever heard what
the treehouse?
The treehouse, thank you. Have you ever heard what sounded like a bell? A jingling of a bell. Like you remember when the children's shoes, that little bell that moms would always put on the string?
We have wind chimes outside.
I don't think
I'm not so. It could have been that. I'm not talking about the chimes.
Like to keep a lot of wind chimes, you know, sound magic and things like that. The good
right, magic, right. But I mean, have you just like out of the blue without the wind blowing or anything? Just kind of heard what sounded like a bell, not a chime, not the chimes themselves, but sounded like one of those little bells. like a sleigh bell.
Christmas time.
Sleigh bells.
You know, sleigh bells. Okay, that's that's a distinct bell sound.
That's a better type of description of it.
Yeah, because it's exactly the same thing.
Okay.
If you remember.
The reason I asked.
You know, my mom used to make me wear those damn things when I was little.
Well, we should make you wear them now. So, but no, the reason I asked.
So we can find you. We're strong. Yeah.
But
I don't go nowhere.
Let me finish. Let me finish, Joe. So the reason I ask is because people who have heard that type of bell, when there's like nothing out there that would actually give that kind of a noise, associate that with imps. Imps are part of the fairy world. They're part of the fae. And when you hear that type of bell, that is an association with an imp being nearby. Especially when there's nothing out there that will make that kind of sound. And imps are known. Imps are known to actually bring gifts as well. So
that makes sense.
It could be that. It could be that. What do you think about the post that I did where I have the two photos and those photos of the apparition that I caught? We're both exactly same face, same facial features. When you're looking at it, what you're looking at is the tree house behind the Japanese maple that's in front of it. I went out with my camera and did about 40 burst shots. And in two of them, one time it's up on the top metal roof. Coming down, the second time it is peering from behind a fern. But what blew me away was the clear definition of the facial features, because in the years that I've been doing paranormal investigating, you know, I mean, I've got EVPs, I have, you know, sound recordings of even direct voice phenomenon, DVPs are coming through on my security camera because they're so loud, but when I caught those photos, that really was something, because I'm thinking, is this who I'm dealing with? Is this the mischievous one? Because it didn't start right away. Like I said, the bad stuff did not start right away. And by bad stuff, you know what I mean. I mean, I was bitten in the hospital. I was going through periods where I was constantly waking up with marks that were not there and could not be made by me in places that I can't even reach with my hands. They would often happen either in bed or in the shower. So when I started learning to protect myself, those were the first areas I went to protect, were my vulnerable areas.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's almost textbook. Sleep paralysis on a regular basis. All those types of things. The knocking, the noises, the lights on and off, all that kind of stuff. It really is cliche. But it's true. It's true. And luckily, now that I am doing the work, it has gotten a lot better. It has. So there is hope for people out there. You know, I'm not going to say that I don't feel the oppression. I do. And sometimes I do feel uncomfortable, but I don't show it because that's what they want. They want fear. They want you to be scared. So I need to assert my dominance, reclaim my power, reclaim my magic, and set boundaries. Those are my most important things that I would tell anybody dealing with what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, definitely.
And be open to get your information from. I work with Catholics. I work with Christians. I work with Satanists. You have information that can help me. Help me. I'll listen.
Well, I can only tell you what I know. and what I've experienced in life. That's about the best I could do. I'm jaded to a lot of things.
And you've experienced quite a bit yourself. What would you do if you were me?
Well, I've already had some weird experiences with a woman that I dated a long time ago who was a Hispanic woman, and she could actually be considered a brujo. You know what that is, right?
Indeed.
A witch?
See.
So, and she played a lot with the darks. And I actually shared a dream with her. And I know that it was her dream because she explained it to me before I said anything. And in that dream, I physically battled a demon that was trying to harm her. And it's really weird because during the time I was with her, I came face to face with probably about three different demons. They were low level, but I was able to fight them off. So, like I said, I'm kind of jaded to a lot of stuff.
Wow. That's a lot to come up against.
It is. Now, the way things went in my family is my mom, she was kind of clairvoyant and she was, sensitive. And it was always only the women in the family that would get it. And it would skip a generation each time. I am the first known male in my family to be sensitive in the way that my mom was. And then my daughter is kind of the same way I am now. So I do have a touch of the ability, but I haven't really honed it. But again, like I said, I'm out of practice on the Wicca, but it wouldn't take me long to get back into it. But for you, what I would do is I would put together a talisman with a power crystal in it. And I would present it to you like even a medicine man, a true Indian medicine man could actually do the same thing. But it would be a talisman with a power crystal of protection. And it would help to ward off a lot of the negative energies and the negative spirits that are trying to mess with you.
Yeah. As far as what I'm doing now, I mean, I don't know if you want any specifics or anything, things that have been helping me out of suggestion. One of them, unfortunately, I'm still working on, because when you're told to put bottles of salt, like open vials of salt, in the corners of your house, most people have a south and an east and a north and a west corner of their house. I have about 7 in the east, 9 in the north, in the south. So I am still working on all of these bottles that I'm collecting to put to all the corners.
Okay, what kind of salt are you using?
Ask anything.
No, what kind of salt
are you using? I was told specifically, even though I do have pink, white, black, and red, it's Himalayan. That's what I was told to use. Do you disagree?
Yeah, I do. The salt that I...
You do disagree, always, don't you?
Yes, I do. The salt that I was told to always use for any kind of spells or any kind of use in magic is pure sea salt. Because if you think about this, the salt in the sea is infused with the power of the sea. So you have the energy of the ocean in your hand when you're holding that salt. And you're able to channel that energy through that salt because it is still connected with the ocean. That's what I was taught.
Yeah.
When I learned.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, but you know, that's,
I get
that,
moon water.
That again is me. Okay. I'm not trying to dispute anyone else's theories or anyone else's teachings, but that is how I was taught. And that is me. So if the Himalayan salt's not working for you, try the sea salt, but make sure it's pure sea salt.
Certainly will. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm willing to try anything, really. I mean, I had a friend who I was video chatting the other day, and she said, man, I just noticed a difference in you. You seem lighter, you know. So something that I'm doing is working and is helping. Creating the barriers is huge. Not just physical barriers, but mental barriers as well. Yeah. Letting them know who is boss. I have the power. I am the one that is living. This is may have been your house, but it is no longer. If you're good, you are more than welcome to stay. If your intentions are bad, you have to stay outside. That's the way it is. And this is a trick that was taught to me from someone I'm working with, was to wrap a red rope around my bed. Ever since I have had that red rope around my bed, I have not had sleep paralysis in over 2.5 weeks, which for me is a record.
Well, you know what the significance of the red is? You know that red is...
He told me.
Red is a power color. And it is a very powerful power color. So that could be what's helped.
Also, the advice to use a self-made protection sigil underneath the bed with a mirror, upside down, black side up, projecting that sigil downward, keeping it down so it cannot come up, is another thing I was told. And that actually has helped with my nightmares significantly.
Yeah, and another thing too, going back to the sea salt, using sea salt in a container setting under your bed will also help create a protective barrier.
Any other questions?
No.
It's the intent and the rope. Definitely.
Yeah.
Everything is about the intent. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Closing words, exactly. That is the key. The intent. Mm-hmm. Yes. Definitely. Well, Mark and Joe, it's been a pleasure. It's wonderful to see you.
It's been a very big pleasure to meet you. You can stick around if you have time for a couple minutes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not nearly enough time, but it's not the last. That's for sure.
All right, Joe.
Thank you for listening to my story. Thank you for everyone who's watching.
Your story.
I hope you enjoyed. If anyone ever wants to hit me up with any questions at all, feel free to contact me. You can find me. Of course, my name is unique. Just start typing in my name. I'm the first one to pop up. Go ahead.
Yes, she is.
Facebook, Instagram, my website, even my email is available. And of course, my blog, xparanormal at blogspot.com. And then my affiliation with, I'd love to give really quickly a huge shout out to Nick and the Paranormal Diary School, because it is a fantastic place to be. It's a wonderful family to be a part of. And Paraflix, yes, Paraflix, we are all very excited for it. So everyone keep an eye out. There's going to be a lot of great content coming out. Definitely. So get on board with Paraflix. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you again, you guys. I appreciated it.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoy our time together.
And next Wednesday we
have anytime.
From Ghost Tracking Investigations. That's next Wednesday, Ben Strongwolf. So that's our guest. So till Wednesday, stay safe and remember
lovely
things possible.
Always love to listen to other investigators. Definitely.